Blog Talk Radio.
I'm so glad that you can join us this evening. We'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the Care to Read Room. We'd like to say Habari Ghani to our new friends, and we'd like to say what's up to our old friends. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are still working on the broadcast, the tribal experience. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you read our billboards, we are now talking about a new episode, the benefits of being a tribe in the urban setting. Now, what's that all about? We've been talking the last couple of days about how we can change our African-American communities around and how we can look at getting back to the roots of our heritage. And as we look at getting back to the roots, will that solve the problem that we currently are facing with every system collapsing on every end, our school system, our children having difficulty finishing high school, dropping through the cracks? At the same time, we're having an employment problem. If we go back, way back to our roots, will this solve the problem? And can we look at resolving the shortage of our black men in our community with going back to our roots? We're going to be talking about those issues in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to invite you in to lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. We're going to open up our chat rooms. So for those of you who would like to come in the chat room, we'd like to invite you in the chat room this evening and have you to be a part of the chat rooms this evening. And stay tuned. We're going to be pulling our chat rooms up shortly, and we'll invite you right into the chat rooms. And I want to get up front and personal and comfortable. Stay tuned. Are you out there? If you would like to introduce yourself, you can. Can you hear me? Okay. I guess that caller is going to be holding for now, so we'll just let them stay on hold. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, let's get back into our program. We're talking about the tribal experience and how do we correct the problems and the ills of our black communities. As you know, we are facing a serious problem, ladies and gentlemen, with unemployment in our communities. It's a serious problem, and we are facing that problem, and things are not changing anytime soon. And we have to realize if we don't get this thing together now with this new paradigm shift, will it be a problem for us? Will we be able to exist in the new millennium? Now, jobs are a big issue. Jobs are a real big issue. And a large portion of us are in the urban settings right now who are not employable and underemployable. We have a large percentage of black young men who can't get jobs. And you guessed it, ladies and gentlemen. People are being denied employment because of credit scores as well as their rap record. If they have a problem with misdemeanors or felonies, then those people are going to be tried and convicted twice, and they won't be able to find employment. So how do we solve the problems in our community with our urban setting situation where we have been so locked into society and so connected to material things? How do we go back to the roots of our heritage? How do we go back to what we once used to be as Africans and feel that we are progressing and going forward? How do we do that? And is it because our men are leaving the community and no one is saying a thing about why our men are being transitioned out of the community that we are letting this happen? We're not asking questions about why did Mr. John have to leave the community? What happened with his case? Who's going down to the courthouse to advocate for Mr. John? Right now, we are a catch-all. Everyone's benefiting from our loss, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone's benefiting from our shortcomings and making money off the black. But yet we're suffering the most in the black communities, and it's unfortunate that nobody has opened their mouth to say anything about the penal institution or the courtrooms. And people are being carted off every day and brought into courtrooms and tried and convicted and given a plea bargain, and the end of the case is written, and the rest of the days of that young person's life, they're incarcerated. Now, those things are happening, but we've got to deputize ourselves so that we are taking responsibility of our communities. It once used to be said that Moses governed his people. We're going to have a Moses spring up in our community to govern our people and to govern the situation of unemployment and incarceration. Those two things are going to have to be monitored, ladies and gentlemen, because if our young boys can't eat and can't produce filthy lucre to embrace taking care of their families or to at least attempt to take care of themselves, then they will be going through a cycle, ladies and gentlemen, of continual criminal behavior. And you know that we must find employment for young people that need to eat, and they need to have shelter and housing themselves. So we're going to look at what can we do to bring our race back to the grassroots. And I'm talking grassroots. If you like to call in, and if you got a grassroots idea of how we can solve this problem, I want you to call in or go into our chat room and start chatting about it, because we certainly need to know how can we handle this situation. It is a serious thing, ladies and gentlemen. And I know a lot of people are mad about what's going on, but they can't do a thing about it because it's so devastating to them. They're very mad about it. And if I would be willing to bet you that there's a lot of people that want to talk about the subject but don't know what to say. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we're going to go over and take time out to acknowledge our higher selves and to pay homage to God in this room. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just stand with me as we acknowledge our ancestors and call them forth, we ask them to come forward to be present with us as we climb over their backs today. And we pour libation to our higher self and the libation to acknowledge the Godhead. We pour libation to God and ask God to be present with us. We call on our ancestors and we pour libations to Yam and Jah and say Ashe. And we pour libations to the Father Spirit of Obatala, the man that represents the Father Spirit, and say Ashe. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have prayer requests and would like to pray and give a prayer for the family, this is a time to do that. And I would like for you to understand that everyone that is present here today representing their family, we'd like to set a prayer up for their family. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Father. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on a straight path, not on the path of those who have gone astray. And we ask that you would bless every household represented here today. And we say Ashe. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this much, that right now women are probably wondering, will their man ever come home from prison? Will they be able to embrace their men from prison, or should they write them off? And the big question is that I'm going to put out there in the audience, should the women continue to cohabitate with their men in prison, or should they write them off, or should they reconnect with them and give them the only family that they know by going to visit these incarcerated victims. Now, we're trying to build a community. We're trying to create an area of a tribal situation, a communal situation. At one time, Africans lived communal. At one time, Africans, they cohabitated together. They worked together, and women worked and provided a meal together for their families, and they lived in a communal situation. How beneficial is it to live in a communal situation today? And can we benefit from living in those communal situations today? And if you have some solutions as to what you think we could do to better our communities, I would like for you to call in to talk about it. But the main thing we're going to do is we're going to go to our phone lines again. We still have a guest out there, and we'll see if that person is okay, if they'd like to say anything. Caller number 981, if you'd like to say something or say hello, you can talk and you can introduce yourself. You're free to do so. Are you okay? If you are, just let me know, then I'll just let you listen until you're ready to talk, okay? All right. All right, we're going to go on then, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we're talking about the tribal lifestyle. We're talking about our communities. What can we do about them? They have become a nightmare. Some people are afraid to go into their communities for fear of a number of different things happening, that they might be molested, that they might have to be held up. But the biggest thing that we have to remember is that we can make our communities safe again by creating jobs and creating harmony within our communities. So one of the things that we're going to talk about is ways that we can create jobs in our community. That is the biggest issue that we need to address. And as I have told you in the past, I believe that we should have ownership and that we should have our own corporations and that we should provide businesses and work for ourselves and buy from ourselves. So if we begin to look at how do we do that, first of all, we must create heritage and culture. And we must create celebration around our heritage and culture. And through creating celebration, there lies a request and a need for clothing, garments, foods, and products that we will need to engage in our festivities. So how will we purchase these things, and who will we purchase them from? We must learn to purchase all of these paraphernalia from ourselves and buy from ourselves and produce our own wares. As we prepare for our celebrations each year, or periodically if we have more than one holiday throughout the year, we must buy from ourselves and let this be the largest production of marketing and sales throughout the year. So our money can circulate back in our pockets, and we can create festivities, and off the backs of our own black people, we can prosper. Now, every day you find black people going to the beauty homes and beauty stores, buying various different hair pieces, extensions, and weaves. And we are making the Koreans, and we're making some of the people who are less persuasive than we are rich off the things that we buy in those stores. We're buying so much stuff for our upkeep of our hair, our nails, and our skin, and we're buying the majority of the products, and we are $1 billion purchasing power. But do we have a percentage in the market? I was told we only have 3% in the market of purchasing power of hair products, but yet we consume the most. So why don't we buy up some of the beauty salons, and why don't we go in together and stockpile our money and buy from ourselves and buy our own products for our hair? If this business is booming and if we're helping to keep it alive, then maybe that might be the business you want to go and get orientated for. But we've got to think about bringing businesses back in our community. That's just one in particular. But there are many other businesses that we can recreate in our community. We don't need another liquor store. And we certainly don't need another church, because the church is not providing enough jobs to create opportunity for our black people. Now, churches, if you are going to build up and guests and set yourself up into our community, you need to be providing some jobs. You need to function like a corporation. People keep saying the state and church don't mix, but I say it does, because all of the other churches that I've ever seen, Caucasians take their churches and make institutions out of them. We're going to have to learn how to take our churches and utilize them throughout the week and make institutions out of them so they're functional. Right now, they're non-functional only on one day out of the week or 2 days when they have the Bible study and Sunday service. It's very important that if we don't get a grip of our communities now and get a hold, why is it that we get every race of people coming into our community wanting to run a business, but they don't want to live there or they don't want to reside there? Chicago got smart, and they got smart, and they said if you do not live in a community, you cannot, if you do not reside there, you cannot hold a position there. And they made it known, and they put their foot down and said that this is how it's going to be. Now, if the other states get flat-footed, dogmatic about it and put their foot down and say that this was what must happen, you won't find people coming in trying to suck off the mammary glands of the black community, making a profit off the black community, because that's what's happening now. The black communities are allowing other people to come into their community and sell them wares and goods, people that don't live in our neighborhood. When you find a neighborhood dying, you better believe it's dying for a reason. If you don't become a salesman and have purchasing power, your communities will die. And that's what's happening to our communities now. Right downtown here in Gary, Indiana, you can look at that city and see that all of the shopping of the black-owned businesses is gone, completely gone overnight. That knocks out the middleman altogether. Do you think that that was by plan? Do you think that somebody decided we're going to wipe out all the businesses here? Did you think that that was by accident or was it intentionally done? Now, when you don't want a middle class, you get all of the operating corporations out of commission so that they will not be able to pull a card of control. But what we're going to have to understand is that we're getting a second chance. With the new millennium coming in and a new paradigm shift coming in, we ought to be going to get our LLCs and our C-Corp and our S-Corp and our business plan right now to put it in place. I don't care that you say that black businesses are failing, we won't be able to invest, we don't have anybody to secure us with money. We're going to have to take a chance. If you're out of work now and can't get a job, and if you wasted all the money in college getting a degree that costs you $30,000 to only take a position that pays $15,000, you do the math. Now tell me, does that make sense? No, it doesn't. It would behoove us to come up with a business plan, lay strategies out, to get our families together, and to hire our families and allow them to work for us and take the tax break. That's right. Didn't you know it? If you hire your sons and daughters, there is a tax break for you. You ought to start getting a little bit more academia-like and go online and find out, what does it take to start up a business? What does it take if you wanted your whole family to be incorporated communal style in a business? That's how you bring families together. You have commonalities and interests where you and that family come together for the benefit of economic purposes. And families will come back home to work with you. Families will come and get involved if they see that you can pay them a paycheck. So what are the things you got to do? You got to get a budget. You got to get a business plan. And you've got to get your foundation laid as to what it is you want to go in business with. And lay that foundation, you begin to realize what it is you need to make that company operate and be solvent. But we've got to change the roots in our community. We've got to uproot some things out of there. We've got to stop being materialistic, and we've got to stop wanting what the Joneses got next door. We can live off of bare minimum, and we've got to take our farms back. We've got to start developing our gardens again so we can sustain ourselves. If we're going to be communal people, what about the black woman? Can she survive in a community, in a communal setting? That's the best place for a black woman to go, is to a communal setting when she's alone, because the community will take good care of her. And what about the black man leaving the community and black women finding that there's a shortage in the community? Well, we have to press the court system, and we have to continue to visit our black men in prison, and we have to give them hope, and we have to encourage them and let them know that we haven't forgotten about them, and we will not let them go away to a wasteful incarceration four walls. We have to let them know that if need be, we will send the ancestors after them, and the ancestors will protect them. We've got to remember we cannot kiss our loved ones goodbye in prison. We have got to stay connected to them. Now, if this is how the new system is going to be, where they lock them away, we're going to have to do something to maintain them so that they can quickly be rehabilitated and transition back into the community. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've spent too much time in church, and I want to talk on it because churches are going to have to be real institutions now. We've spent too much time in church, and churches are going to have to upgrade themselves. And as they upgrade themselves, they are going to have to do an assessment of our communities and help us to determine what it is we need to do to create better environments for our communities to become more communal-like. When we become communal, we marry ourselves to the community. The community and I, we become one. We take care of the community, and the community takes care of us. Let's address the marriages. How does the community take care of a marriage? The community supports a good marriage. The community also intervenes when a marriage needs assistance. A community steps in to assist in a financial crisis. And that's what's happening to a lot of marriages. They're going through financial crisis. It's not necessarily that they don't love one another. It could be a financial crisis where money is no longer available in the marriage, which causes a serious crisis in the relationship. Now, I know some of you are saying romance before finance, and some of you are saying finance before romance, but what we have to look at is that we got to come together and create corporations together. Then we can get romance and finance. So as we look at doing a grassroots thing, the main thing is we have to come away from the Eurocentric lifestyle and looking at how many material things we can stockpile. We only need basic living things, basic living allowances. We need basic clothing. We can no longer continue to buy the high-priced clothes and put all of our money into our clothing, which will eventually perish. We can no longer invest in cars when they depreciate. We've got to buy cars and pay cash for them and keep our money so that we're not tying up our money in a car payment. We have got to invest. We've got to invest in property and buying houses and pursue land, because we are trying to become giants again. When we were first up in slavery, most of the slaves came out ready to build institutions, ready to build corporations and businesses. And they did this without degrees, ladies and gentlemen. They did this off the back of their mothers and fathers who had very little filthy lucre to invest in. Now, we must use our college degrees to work for ourselves. We must take these credentials and use them to better ourselves. Why would you get a college degree to go back to work into the system when you can get a degree to make employment for other people in your community? Employment is a serious thing now. For a young person to be out of work and not have money circulating is a crisis. It's a crime. Now, I'm not blaming you, Obama, for the fact that these people don't have jobs. I'm not blaming you at all, because you've tried to make it possible to circulate jobs into the community. But what I do want you to do, Obama, I want you to help change the penal institution and the court system laws, so that some of these criteria where these young people have paid their dues and now they're paying all over again with a crisis of saying they cannot find employment, they cannot work if they have a felony. You're going to have to lift some of the regulations so they can go to work and make a living for themselves. Do you know how much it costs to house a prisoner in prison? You are almost paying the same amount for tuition for a student that you pay for a prisoner when you can send that person to college. Now, is this a money-making thing by sending people to prison? And is there money to be made off this? Is this a new way to have the cotton gin to make money? But if so, let our young people go. Free them, please. Do not hold them up and incarcerate them and let them rotten in prison. Let them go. It has to be a better system of incorporating funds and money than to lock young innocent full of zest for young men and women away, and they have life in them. They have destiny in them. And we don't want to see them locked away. We want them to have a fair chance to be able to take over and carry the baton where we left off. It's very crucial that you understand in doing a communal thing, we're going to have to understand what it is to be communal. And that means that we are going to have to be self-sustaining. And we have to teach our young people it's okay to be self-sustaining. And we cannot buy into the materialistic jargon and buying cars, material things. We have got to look at getting property and having ownership and teaching our young people to run their own corporation. There are many ways of getting a business than going to a corporation. They are multi-level businesses. There are business, cottage home businesses. There are businesses online, businesses in the home. Whatever you choose it well and establish it so you can get corporate credit. So how do you get corporate credit, as you asked me? How do you get corporate credit? You must seek out corporations that will lend corporate credit for your business plan and help you to get established so that you can also look at the Crowder funding and get funds where they can invest in your business so that you can establish yourself and get your business plan up and running. But we've got to think of another way to become more communal and more tribal in our ways, because women are left alone, and they're going to have to go to tribal settings, and they're going to have to find other women who are alone and unite themselves together to create a family atmosphere for their children and raise children together. Now, older mothers, you're going to have to go to the younger young women and teach them the trade of becoming a parent, because they certainly need your skills. At one time, we didn't have to have so many degrees to do everything. We knew things that was innately put in us, and we were able to purchase a field and establish ourselves and set businesses up without degrees. Now we have so much education that no one knows how to do anything anymore. But we're going to have to turn things around. We're going to have to make situations a lot better in a tribal setting. And we're going to have to be able to convince people the benefits of polygamy. Yes, polygamy is something that black women created. And black women are going to reinforce it because they're going to need a man's name to run under. And they're going to need a man to secure them. And in the end time, the Bible did speak of there will be seven women to every one man. And a woman is going to say, just let me bear your name. And right now, those women are in need of bearing some man's name right now as we sit here and speak. Now, polygamous is not such a bad thing as the way we look at it. We're going to have it broken down and spelled out and defined so that we clearly understand how it benefits the single women. At the same time, ladies and gentlemen, we have got to start looking at raising our children better, training them to have good character and good conduct, keeping them away from these prisons and showing them that there is dukkha to pay. When someone does something wrong, there is hardship and pain to pay. And you must start teaching them not necessarily what the good book says, but teaching them good common sense and teaching them how to live a spiritual and a wholesome life. It's very important that we do something in our communities now. We don't have a lot of time. Time is upon us, and we've got to make a transition pretty soon. And that transition is coming up on the paradigm shift in another month or two. And we're going to have to be ready to get in position to rule again. And when a person is ready to rule, he has all his ducks in order ahead of time. And black women, I called you God yesterday. You're still gods today. You ought to rise up. You ought to be frustrated about what's going on in your community. When a woman rises up and changes a household, she changes a nation. So it's time for us to be able to develop nation-building skills through rising up and putting our foot down to talk about what's happening to the black family, to talk about what's happening to the black male, the head of the black family, being taken out of the community in the middle of the night without us knowing. We also have to rise up in the school system, the inadequacy of miseducating our children. We've got to rise up and say something, and we've got to say no more, lest we bring our children home and raise them and train them and school them ourselves. We've got to demand better quality of the hospitals and the quality of our food supply. So therefore, the sustainability farming area is wide open. We can no longer go back to jobs that don't exist anymore. Some of our children are going to have to get into farming and dairy products and functioning with cattle as well. And we're going to have them retrain in areas where their job's at. Just because they want to do a certain job, if there are no longer jobs in that area, they're going to have to retrain for the areas that are wide open. And Obama has tried to put funding in the sustainability and gardening. That's where we're going to have to look to, bringing sustainability within our community, being able to do workshops and seminars to talk more about how it could benefit us. But we certainly cannot sit around here any longer and wait for this whole system to collapse right in front of our eyes. And that's what it's doing. Every black urban setting, their stores are closing up, their businesses are shut down, their schools are falling apart. We're in ruin right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're in ruin. And when you see a city that's in ruin in every major urban setting, something is wrong with that picture. Prosperity is not there. Yet we claim we have abundance in these churches. As long as we're in church on Sunday morning and Wednesday, we are very rich at that moment. However, when we leave that facility, we go back to our urban setting where we're suffering and our communities are desolate. So we've got to turn around the situation, and we don't have very much time to turn it around. So women are going to have to be deputized to rise up and take leadership. While the men are away, they're going to have to stand up in a matriarchal society and make a difference and deputize themselves to change the way the situation is. What do we start with first? You must understand, we go back to living off the land and living like we did when we lived wholesomely. We go back to our roots. We go back to healing ourselves, number one, creating our household pharmaceutical products within our kitchen to heal ourselves through natural means first, and stay out of these systems that are killing our people off, that have no intentions of healing anyone, and creating a preventative maintenance program. The doctors of the world were women, and women are going to have to step up again and begin to heal our communities through healing in their homes. So if you are a doctor and have healing hands, you ought to be practicing your holistic skills and utilizing these skills so that now you can begin to heal your families. We're going to have to bring our medicine, and the medicine doctor is going to have to come home again. And we're going to have to go to diviners so they can look into the cosmic record and give us a divination for the future of what it is that we expect to do in the next millennium. We certainly can't be under the bottom. After the beginning comes the end, and after the bottom comes the top. It's time for us to come to the top now. It's time for us to make some changes. And women have sit by and allowed men to do it wrong for long enough. Now we have no other choice but to step up because our men are gone. And we have no other choice but to step up. And that don't mean act like a man. We still can do things in a feminine manner. It's very important that we begin to start making an assessment, having roundtable discussions, coming together in platform, talking about options that we have. And I'm appealing to all of you women broadcasters, if you need to come in this room as a platform to talk, come right in, because we're looking for solutions. We're looking for not just an scapegoat, but solutions. We're looking